Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. After some congregational singing, you will hear a worship service and Bible teaching. Our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
As we again look forward to the events of the week, we have Brother Dan's birthday on Wednesday, and also next Lord's Day, the morning service. We will be honoring one of our founding elders, Bob Klotz, and also installing Brother Dan as a new elder. So following the morning service, we will have a cookout here, a fellowship meal together. So look forward to that as well. Tonight we are continuing our survey through 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 30, the first 19 verses, and the title is Encouraged in the Lord. David was in a tight predicament. Not only had he narrowly escaped being forced to fight the army of Israel through his time that he spent with the Philistines, but now he returned to Ziklag and he found that the entire city was burned, and his wives and children and all the whole camp, the whole families of all his troops had been carried off. And his men grumbled of stoning him. So he was in a tight spot. But he was encouraged in the Lord. He looked to the Lord for help, as we ought to do in our times of crisis. Simply trusting every day. 682.
Trusting Him to learn. trusting Jesus, that is all.
And as we are encouraged in the Lord, we can sing 608.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Marked is the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in the brooding care, safe from the world's temptation, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my soul shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by the love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest.
Amen. And as David encouraged himself in the Lord, he prayed to the Lord. He called for Abiathar and asked for the ephod, the priestly garment that had the Urim and the Thummim that would guide in terms of what steps they should take to try to recover their captured wives and children. And he asked the question, shall I pursue them? Will I overtake them? And he received a positive answer from the Lord, the encouraging word that he would overtake and surely he would recover all that was lost. There's a time for spiritual warfare. Some of our pacifist friends don't want to hear anything about the spiritual warfare today. But the spiritual warfare is alive and well. And yet we know that Christ is still on his throne. But sometimes we have to battle for the truth. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. 686.
Sound the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty.
Thank you, Bob. Please stand. We're going to ask Brother Dan to read this passage tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 19.
And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they gave him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Shiletites, and upon the coast that belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all the Amalekites that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither great nor small, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your sovereign purpose and your deliverance when we find ourselves in difficult situations. We thank you that you hear our cry, that you answer our prayer, and that you meet our every need far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. And we thank you for even this account in the life of David at a time where even his faithful men had turned against him and considered stoning him, that you delivered him from danger, that you provided for the answer to his petition, to his prayer, and that you delivered all. You enabled David to recover all. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. Help us to be encouraged in the Lord, to recognize your sovereign protection and your divine purpose in our own lives, that we might praise you, that we might honor and glorify you in all things. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We often commemorate a date in Christian history, some long past date usually, but we're turning back the clock to last Friday night. I don't know how many of you saw the incident in Mississippi last Friday evening. A federal judge recently had prohibited the high school band from playing How Great Thou Art at a high school football halftime show. They've practiced their routine all summer, and the federal judge, an appointee of our current president, stepped in and threatened a $10,000 fine to the school district if they dared to include religious matters and prayer in their sporting events, in their school activities, and anything related to the school. So the parents, the team, were all disappointed when the school board bowed to the pressure, bowed to the threat of the federal judge, and prohibited the high school football team from performing How Great Thou Art. First Amendment, again, being stripped of its teeth, and the right to freedom of speech, the right to freedom of religious expression, quashed by a federal judge. But that's not the end of the story. For Friday night, in a quiet halftime, as the two teams returned to the field, there was a low hum that began and spread quickly throughout the audience. The hum was the tune, How Great Thou Art. And as then the startled crowd, someone stood up and began singing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. And one by one others stood, and hundreds stood and sang, How great thou art. We may be on the verge of the citizens of this country standing up to these tyrant judges who impose their will upon the rights and the freedoms, the God-given rights of freedom and religious expression that not just the Constitution guarantees, but the God of the Bible guarantees. So thus we commemorate the events in Rankin County, Mississippi, last Friday evening. This passage tonight, 1 Samuel 30. Encouraged in the Lord. Last time we saw how David and his men were on the brink of being forced into battle. They had a very difficult choice to make. They could have either entered into battle against the armies of Israel, and David might have been forced to slay the king who he had bypassed the opportunity several times previously, King Saul, unjustly persecuting him and pursuing him, but David would not take matters into his own hands, and he would not slay the one who he regarded as the Lord's anointed. He was willing to wait upon the Lord's timing to deliver on the promise that he would be the next king of Israel. But on the other hand, we saw how David was in a difficult situation, because if he defected to the side of the armies of Israel, he would be acting as a traitor to Achish, the man who had chosen him as his personal bodyguard and who had befriended him and protected him and even given him a city in southern Judah to allow him and his 600 men and their families to settle. But as they were sent away, Achish conceded to the wishes of the princes of the Philistines, and he sent David and his men away back to Ziklag. But here we read the events that met them when they arrived back in Ziklag, their new hometown. For we read that it had been sacked and burned to the ground, and the wives and the children and all the livestock and everything was gone. This was on the third day. It took them basically 2.5 days of traveling time to arrive back at Ziklag from the Valley of Jezreel. And as they came over the hilltop, they saw the burned city. And with great dismay, they realized what had happened. The Amalekites, that group of warlike pagans to the south, one of the three groups that they had spent their time raiding over the previous 16 months, they knew that David and his men had gone to Gath, and that they had gone to Jezreel with Achish, and they seized the opportunity. The Amalekites were a hated enemy of the Israelites. You'll recall back in Exodus 17, the curse of the Lord had come upon the Amalekites for the way in which they treated the Israelites as they entered into the promised land. He said in effect that he would expunge their name from under heaven. And while many of the subsequent Israelite leaders had failed to follow through with that pronunciation of doom upon the Amalekites, failing to completely wipe them out, we see the fruits in this case of failing to do the complete instruction of God. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that we can compromise and we can bend the rules a little bit and that we can go our own way and not do quite what the Lord says for us to do. But there are always consequences of failing to follow through to the letter what God commands his people to do. And thus, Deuteronomy likewise was the instruction to the Israelites, Deuteronomy 25, verses 1 to 7. He instructed them to remember always what the Amalekites had done to them as they entered into the land. This was such an egregious action in their failure to provide a way of access into the land that God instructed Israel to remember it always. And here we have the Amalekites rising up once again, seizing the opportunity to harass David because they knew that he and his men were elsewhere, 3 days' journey to the northeast. And thus they knew that they could get away with their planned raid. But we also see the mercy of God in this whole thing, in his providence, in his deliverance, in his protection. As we read that none were slain, none neither great nor small were killed. None of the wives, none of the sons and daughters were killed. All of the livestock was captured and driven away, and they carried them off, thinking that they were free and clear. They assumed that David and his men would be tied up for some period of time as the Philistine armies met with Saul and his armies. They felt no threat whatsoever. They thought they were free and clear. So they, from all appearances, made a leisurely retreat, and then they took time to party. David and his men wept until they had no more power to weep, we see in verse 4. They were devastated by the loss of their wives and their children. They grieved to the extent that David, those men who had risked their lives on numerous occasions for David, they had their own grievances against King Saul. They were willing to fight and risk their own lives against the warlike tribes of the Amalekites and the others. But now they are grieving so sorely that they are considering stoning their divinely appointed leader, David. David is in a very difficult situation. But we see a very different reaction on the part of King, or the soon-to-be King David, as compared with then King Saul. When King Saul sought the direction of the Lord, he didn't get it. And he got so self-willed that he chose to go and consult a witch, a consulter of familiar spirits. A prohibition of not only his own law, but the law of God. David didn't take that course. David called for Abiathar, the priest. He asked him, "I pray you, bring forth the ephod." The ephod was that priestly breastplate that had the Urim and the Thummim, the gadgets, the devices that they used to consult the will of the Lord. And David prayed unto the Lord. He and Abiathar approached the Lord in humility, turning to the only one whom they knew could save them and rescue them from this difficult situation. David prayed, "Shall I pursue the Amalekites? Shall I overtake them?" And he receives an immediate answer from the Lord. The answer came back, "Pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them." And oftentimes God's prayers are more than even what we ask for. Because not only was David given the assurance that he should pursue them, that he would overtake them, but he's also told by the word of the Lord that without fail you shall surely recover all. The blessings of God, the mercy of God in his deliverance, in his protection of his people, as David and his men join in hot pursuit of the fleeing Amalekites. But again, we see the mercy of God. We see God's provision for the situation, because David didn't really know where the Amalekites went. There weren't major highways leading from Ziklag back to the home territory of Amalek. There was not a predictable route that they might take. But by what the world would call dumb luck, a chance encounter. Yet we know from our understanding of God's sovereign purpose in history, as revealed in His Word, as repeated throughout the experience of all of His people through all of the ages, nothing happens by chance. And thus, David and his men approached the brook Besor. Besor is a word, a Hebrew term, which means glad tidings. And it's funny sometimes to analyze the meanings of terms, the meanings of places, the names that are given in Scripture to various locations. And sometimes they don't quite fit, but other times they mean something which means far more than the outward circumstances would seem to indicate. Glad tidings. This is 16 miles from Ziklag. They've run in such speedy pace that 200 of the 600 men are physically drained, exhausted to the point that they cannot continue. And you might say, losing a third of your army against an unknown force of enemies who have captured your wives and children, how could glad tidings arise from the situation in which one third of your fighting force is unable to continue? But again, we see the mercy of God. We see the grace of God, and a reminder to David, a reminder to us, that physical numbers often don't matter in the hands of God, because He can accomplish His purpose all by Himself. And yet many times He is gracious enough to allow us to participate in His work. He crossed over the brook Besor, and He encountered a dying, or a seemingly dying, Egyptian. Again, not knowing where the Amalekites had gone, he finds an Egyptian slave, a slave of the Amalekites, one who had been left for dead by his master. He had not eaten or drank in 3 days. Presumed dead or dying, and yet God preserved him alive that he might give news as to the whereabouts of the Amalekite army, and that he might give them sufficient information to surprise the fleeing sackers of Ziklag. David and his men give the Egyptian slave food. They give him bread and water, and they give him figs and raisins. And it says that his spirit returned unto him. He was revived. God had preserved him that he might tell them the whereabouts of the Amalekites and the nature of their raid. The Egyptian slave identifies who he was and how he came to be in that area. He was apparently a slave of a fairly high-ranking Amalekite soldier, probably one of the leaders of the raiding party. He knew their plans. He knew what they had done. He relayed to David that they had raided the Cherethites, and they were a group of Philistines in the southern territory of Philistia, The Cherethites were an interesting bunch in their own right, because they were a band, a tribe of skilled archers. And they were mentioned several times by the name Cherethites and other variations of that name throughout Scripture. But it's also apparent that David had befriended some of these Cherethites in his years with the Philistines. For later on in 2 Samuel, we read that it was the Cherethites from whom he drew his own bodyguard. He had called several of their faithful converts to his cause to serve as his personal bodyguards. And later on, with many of the kings of Israel, the Cherethites became the executioners. They were the dispensers of kingly vengeance upon the enemies of the crown. But here, the Cherethites were the victims of the invading Amalekites. And they had been ransacked. But we also read, according to this slave who survived to tell his tale, that they had raided the coast of Judah, that they had raided the south of Caleb, and that they had burned Ziklag. So David had received a reconnaissance report of the various missions of the Amalekite raiders. And he was given enough information as he realized that this slave knew their plans. And he asked the slave, "Can you take me down to their camp?" And we see a rather interesting response from this slave who has survived 3 days in the desert without food or water. He says, "Swear by your God that you won't either kill me or return me to my master." He didn't want to go back to that Amalekite master, a man who had cruelly left him to die in the desert without food or water. But he also didn't want to be killed by David and his men. But very much like the Philistines in the previous section, he's asking David to swear not by the Amalekite gods, not by the Philistine gods. He's asking him to swear by God. He apparently was an Egyptian who had a little bit of knowledge of the Hebrews. He apparently had a little bit of knowledge of their belief that there was but one God. So he doesn't ask David to swear by the gods that you won't kill me. He asked him to swear by the name of God that he wouldn't kill him, or that he would not return him to his former master. And David, of course, agrees to that stipulation, and he's led to the site of the Amalekite party. We read that they're spread abroad throughout the whole countryside, eating and drinking and dancing, rejoicing in the great spoil that they had taken with such ease. They had not been met with any resistance. They had killed no one. But they had captured all of the wives and all of the children. And they had captured all the livestock from Ziklag. And now they were what they thought was free and clear, not expecting any kind of reprisal, not expecting any kind of retaliation from David, for they thought he was 3.5-4 days to the north. Out of knowledge of what they had done, and busy on his own front with the battle which they thought was brewing between David and Saul. So they're partying, they're celebrating. And we read that David and his men, the 400 men who had gone with him, they succeeded in the surprise attack. They killed many. Some speculate that they killed anywhere from a half to two-thirds of the Amalekite raiding party, and 400 of the young men escaped on camels and fled from the scene. We don't know exactly how many were killed according to Scripture, but Josephus and others make an observation that they may have killed at least half or more of the Amalekite force. But they recovered all. It says they recovered all, both great and small, and all of the spoil. And it says again, David recovered all. So we see again God's faithfulness. He had provided the clue to where the Amalekites were. He provided one to give them the details of how they might approach the Amalekite camp and take them by surprise. And he had arranged the details to the extent that even in the counterattack, that none of the wives, none of the children were killed. And they recovered not only all of their livestock, all of their possessions, but all of the spoil that had been gained from all of the raids upon the Cherethites and the rest of the territory in southern Judah and southern Caleb. And thus, God delivered. God provided for David. And we can apply the principles from even this passage that when we face crises in our own lives, when we face situations even of our own making, for David had placed himself into this difficult position by willfully going into the land of the Philistines, taking the territory of Ziklag as a present from a pagan king, or from all appearances, an unbelieving king. And yet, though he very nearly was forced into a battle with Israel and the armies of Saul, nevertheless, God spared him from that. He preserved him from the wrath of the Philistine princes. They were sent back to Ziklag, basically sent back to the rear of the lines and prevented from engaging in battle. But on the other hand, we also see the sovereign timing of God, because they arrived just in time to realize what had happened and pursued in time to find the Egyptian before he died, and received the word from him as they restored him to health and to life. They were able to recover all. David recovered all. It wasn't David's doing, it was God's divine intervention. And thus, we can be assured that even when we make mistakes, and we do make mistakes, that he will graciously protect us and preserve us and enable us to recover all, to recognize that he is the giver of all good things, that all things occur according to his sovereign purpose, and that we need to look to him, to praise him. And even as Psalm 103 often is referenced as a psalm that applies to this particular period in David's life, his commitment to bless the Lord, O my soul, because it is God who delivers us from our predicaments. It's God who redeemed him from his destruction. It's God who intervened in the situation, marvelously preserved and protected not only David and his men, but also the wives and the children while they were away and not in a position to protect them. And thus, God will also work in our own lives as we seek his guidance, as we seek his protection, as we rejoice in his mercy and his grace, as we look to him for deliverance. We are encouraged in the Lord. And this ought to affect our daily attitude as we need to put aside grumbling and complaining and poor me syndrome. We need to praise the Lord. We need to acknowledge his blessing, his goodness to us. And as we experience these crises and these trials and tribulations, we are assured that for every temptation, there is an avenue of escape. For every trial, there is victory. for every situation there is hope. God is still on the throne. And thus, we can sing hymn number 454, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary.
Thank you for listening to this message share recording from the pulpit of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You are invited to join us in the assembly at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, off John Brady Drive at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Lord's Day. For further information, call 570-435-2276 or email sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Check out our website at www.localchurchpa.com.